Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Golden Hour by Kat Jackson. Narrated by Lila Winters. Chapter 1. Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, present day. Misty air hangs over the quiet, nearly deserted street. Every so often, a seagull squawks loudly overhead on its way to the shoreline. Sand splays out onto the pavement, creating treacherous spots for the dedicated runners and bikers that share the road with the few cars out this early. The sun may have risen over an hour ago, but there remains a persistent cling of clouds and haze that seem determined not to burn off just yet. It is a golden hour. Not the golden hour, of course, but one that Lena Regelis claims as her own. Maybe rose gold hour is a better descriptor, since the sun is desperately hanging on to a pink stretch of sky over the water, refusing to submit completely to the dawn of a new day. Relatable, Lena thinks. As she coasts along Beach Road, Lena glances to her right each time the houses give way to dunes and wind-worn fences. She can't see the ocean from her Jeep, but she can hear it, quietly pounding the sand, pulling in and out with its secretive rhythm. As a soldier who spent time overseas, Lena knows she's a bit of an anomaly in the fact that her deployments into deserts didn't destroy her love for the beach. Sure, sand sucks a little more than it did when she was a kid, but the beach still calms her in a way that nothing else can. Especially now, when the streets are practically barren and the houses around her are mostly empty. She likes it that way. Empty. No, really, she does. Lena slows as she reaches the house in Kitty Hawk. She can't bring herself to refer to it as her house or even home, though it is for the next 11 months. Her Jeep slides into the tiny driveway and Lena hops out, looking up at the cottage before her. It's a dream home of the smallest variety, and Lena loves it. Set on stilts and crafted with the touch of someone who clearly understood the historical cottage look of old Nag's Head homes, the house is wooden with a cedar shingle roof. The prop shuttered windows were recently painted a bright green that pops against the worn dark wood siding. A thin porch crawls across the back of the house before jutting out into a sizable deck on the right side, then attaching itself to another long porch at the front of the home. It seems weird to call this spot, the part of the house that faces the road, the back. But once Lena walked through the home and stepped onto the other porch for the first time, she understood why the beach side could only be called the front of the house. Stuffing her keys and phone into the pockets of her shorts, Lena reaches behind the driver's seat and picks up the lone bag of groceries. She grabs her iced coffee from the center console before heading up to the house. Inside, the weathered look of the cottage all but disappears, for the most part anyway. Years of rentals have taken a toll on the paint and floors that span the three-bedroom home. That's part of Lena's job while she's here, glorified handywoman and interior decorator. Agreeing to take on the necessary jobs earned her a massive cut in rent, even though she's not exactly paying that. As if taunting her, the cans of paint sitting in the hallway gleam in the morning light as Lena walks past them. Yeah, she mutters as she walks into the kitchen. You'll get your turn soon enough. The pathetic bag of groceries takes just minutes to put away. Lena pauses to shake her head when she realizes she prioritized s'mores fixings over anything truly meal-worthy or healthy. A carryover from spending so much time with her community-minded best friend back in New Jersey, she's taken massive pride in supporting small and local businesses in the Outer Banks by ordering amounts of takeout that would normally induce some sort of shame in her. The truth is, the emptiness of everything around her serves to remind her how much she misses her best friend and neighbor, especially how often she'd bum a meal off Caitlin or strong-arm her into coming over for dinner. Cooking for a party of one isn't exactly Lena's idea of fun. Satisfied with her organization of the tiny grocery load, Lena takes her coffee and steps through the sliding door onto the deck that faces the ocean. She inhales deeply, eyes shut, as the late April air curls around her. By no means is it summer, but it's a hell of a lot warmer here than it is back in Jersey, and that alone is an excellent reason to be in North Carolina at the turn of late spring. She leans against the deck railing, watching the waves and their synchronized dance. The sun is trying its best to warm the air, but it's not enough for Lena to take off her sweatshirt. It might hit 70 today if she's lucky. The water is too cold for her taste, though, again, it's way warmer than the ocean in New Jersey right now. So while the thought of hopping out on the SUP or even the kayak is appealing, spilling into the 60-degree water is not. Suddenly antsy, Lena drums her fingers against the splintering railing. Right, another project on her to-do list, refinishing the deck. Either the list keeps growing or she wasn't fully aware of what she was getting herself into when she asked for the temporary relocation and accepted these amazing living conditions. Amazing and in need of major TLC, that is. Whatever the case, she's here now, and there is work to be done. A bargain rental agreement to uphold while balancing her real-world job responsibilities and army obligations. And since she's here, that means the majority of her problems are far, far away, and completely unaware, so she assumes, of the fact that Lena is equally far away. For now, there couldn't be a better solution. Chapter 2.
You're miserable.
Lena presses her thumb against her eyelid. The regret of answering the phone zips and zings like an errant pinball in her brain. She knows, though, that not answering would have been far worse than answering and listening to the well-intentioned, if blunt, lecture from her best friend.
I'm not miserable. I'm figuring things out.
From 400-plus miles away, Caitlin's scoff comes through clearly and loudly.
Is that what you're telling yourself?
There's a murmur from the other end of the phone, quickly followed by a muffled smartass retort from Caitlin.
Is that Mallory? Could you please put her on the phone? It is, and no. You need some tough love right now, Regellis, and we both know that Mallory is soft when it comes to you.
Lena can't argue that. Since her abrupt departure from home, there's been a wave of hurt radiating all the way down the coast. It's turned Caitlin into someone harder than she normally is, and her girlfriend, Mallory, while icy on the edges, has become more sympathetic toward Lena. It's a flip that Lena didn't expect, and she doesn't mind it, except for moments exactly like this, when Caitlin's stubbornness takes over. Knowing there's no escaping the probably necessary weekly lecture, Lena leans back into the sofa, props her feet on the coffee table, and settles in.
I'm listening.
Caitlin clears her throat.
Good. I've prepared some notes. For fuck's sake, Caitlin, this isn't as big of a deal as you're making it. On the contrary, my friend, it is. You literally up and left without an explanation.
The hitch in her voice gives her away.
Do you have any idea how that made me feel?
Another murmur from the background, and Caitlin makes a noise that crosses between a growl and a sigh.
Right. This isn't about me.
Lena smiles, picturing Caitlin and Mallory side by side at the kitchen counter, where she spent many hours listening to Caitlin move through her divorce, her unexpected attraction to Mallory, the complexities of that attraction, and her determined fumblings to find a career that feels right. She misses Caitlin and Mallory, and she won't lie about that. But Mallory's reminder is dead on. Lena's departure from New Jersey had absolutely nothing to do with Caitlin. It had everything to do with, well, Lena. And possibly a lot to do with her trampled upon heart. Kate, listen, this is something I needed to do for myself. I needed a change of scenery, a different pace. Lena toys with a thread that's unraveling from a throw pillow. She adds interior design to her mental to-do list. I need to be totally by myself for a while.
You are not built to be alone.
The statement comes hard and fast, leaving Lena reeling a bit. Caitlin, for as sharp-tongued as she can be with her wit, isn't normally so harsh. As Lena struggles to take in that bullet, she hears Caitlin mumble, "Hang on," and the background noise on the other end of the phone rises. Lena waits it out, thankful for the time to settle her emotions. When Caitlin gets back on the phone, she's contrite, another new tone. Lena absently wonders what the hell kind of impact Mallory's having on her.
Can we start over?
Of course. Caitlin breathes deeply.
I miss you, and I want you to be happy, but I hate how far away you are. I know you, got very hurt, and I get that. But you didn't have to run away. We could have helped you get through it. You've been there for me through so much, Lena, and I guess I'm upset that you didn't let me be there for you.
That sounds more like my best friend.
I know, I know. I've been informed that I was letting my emotions get the best of me. Sorry about that.
Caitlin pauses.
But seriously, Regellis, what's this shit about needing to be alone?
Lena laughs. She knew Caitlin wouldn't let go of that.
Just trust me. It's what I need right now. I'm not saying it's forever. It can't be forever. You can spew whatever nonsense you want, but you and I both know that you want and deserve someone who loves you and respects you every bit as much as you love and respect her.
The words, sweet and honest as they are, pierce Lena's skin and fortify an army to get inside. The shield she's worked so hard to cover her entire body ably bats them off. It's fine. She's fine. But to appease Caitlin, she says, maybe someday. Lena hears the words, knows they came from her, yet doesn't have it in her to believe a single letter of them.
I'm happy here, Kate. Believe me, okay?
It's another phrase to appease, one Lena desperately wants to be true. It's not entirely a lie, it's just not the complete truth.
Oh, you're happy? Okay, answer me this. How many nights in a row have you had quesadillas from Bad Bean?
Caught.
I have made it my goal to support small businesses, thank you very much. Now put Mallory on the phone.
With another growl sigh, Caitlin acquiesces and Mallory's voice, surprisingly soothing, slides into Lena's ear. Exactly how many quesadillas are we talking about?
Trust me, you don't want to know.
Mallory laughs, a full, hearty sound that Lena misses. She never really liked Caitlin's ex-wife, Becca, so Mallory has been a consistent breath of fresh air. Getting along with her best friend's girlfriend is a bonus that Lena wasn't sure would ever happen. It was simply bad timing that Lena left New Jersey a matter of weeks after Mallory moved in with Caitlin. She'd thought that having the happy couple in her face all the time would have worn her down, but the opposite had been true. If her own life hadn't blown up in such a thorough and magnificent manner, Lena imagines she would have really enjoyed being the third wheel. As it happened, however, the woman she was painfully in love with, obsessed with, she still isn't sure, for 5 years, had hammered the final nail in their dilapidated coffin of an affair by renewing her vows with her husband and disposing of Lena as though she had never existed. To say that Lena had broken into a million pieces is a massively cliched understatement, and yet, 2 months later, she's still struggling to pick her heart out of the pile of bodily rubble. One of those errant brain pinballs zaps around, making it difficult for Lena to focus on whatever Mallory's saying. She closes her eyes and takes the deepest breath she can muster. The zaps stop, and Mallory's words softly filter back in. Maybe we could come down midsummer? Lena nods before remembering the distance and the fact that they're not all sitting in the same room. That could work. Mallory must sense that Lena's noncommittal answer is indicative of something bigger than the actual question, and she lets it go. Caitlin wants to know if you've met anyone.
Sure, Lena says. The older ladies who work at the grocery store. Oh, and Trip, the guy who owns a new bakery right on Beach Road. He makes really good iced coffees.
That's not what I mean,
comes the yell from Caitlin.
Did you put me on speaker?
Yeah, Mallory says, stretching the word out.
I told you I was.
Lena shakes her head, warding off the incoming pinball.
Right, you did.
Did she? She must have, but Lena doesn't remember.
I mean,
Caitlin says, her voice loud and hopeful.
Someone attractive. A lady someone, perhaps?
Nope, no dice. That's not what I'm here for.
Just keep your mind open, Lena, okay? Can you promise me that?
No promises. The words bypass the finely tuned armor of Lena's brain and bounce around recklessly, their tone and accent unmistakable. She grits her teeth only to realize she's been clenching her jaw and has a headache coming on.
Sure, she says, hoping it's enough to get her best friend off her back.
She'd never realized how obsessed Caitlin was with Lena finding someone. It would be sweet if it wasn't such horrible timing.
I think, Caitlin starts, then pauses. I think you need to find something to get your mind off Candace.
Someone, Mallory adds unnecessarily.
She knows what I mean, Caitlin says. But seriously, Lena, have a one-night stand. Go do something totally out of character.
You're on vacation.
This isn't vacation,
Lena interrupts. It's work, just in a different location.
Right, Mallory says. Sorry. What I mean is, you're away.
Different zip code, Caitlin exclaims. No one knows you.
Exactly, Mallory says emphatically, and Lena can picture how enthusiastically she's nodding. Live a little.
It's not like there's a bustling nightclub scene here, Lena says.
Nightclub? Am I that out of touch?
The peanut gallery on the other end of the phone must be equally upset by Lena's flashback to 1975 because they've gone silent.
Well, Caitlin finally says, that was enlightening.
Is that Pepper I hear, meowing like a lunatic?
What?
Caitlin pauses.
I don't hear anything.
Poor thing, sounds like she's out of meat crackers. Must be feeding time.
Lena pushes herself to the edge of the sofa.
You better go feed her. Make sure she doesn't waste away to nothing.
It would take decades for that cat to...
Ouch!
Mallory grunts.
Call us soon, okay?
Of course.
After Lena hangs up, she flops back onto the sofa and stares at the ceiling fan. Fucking nightclub, she thinks and snorts. Even if there was one on this stretch of barrier islands, there's not a single chance in hell she'd walk into it.
Chapter 3. It's the cloudless sky that gets Lena's hopes up.
She wants to take a deep breath and inhale that seamless blue sky right into her lungs. But there's no time, and even if there was, she's forgotten how to take the kind of breaths that make her lungs feel like they could burst from fullness. Everything is short, quick, abrupt. Her breaths, her steps, her thoughts. The jerk of her head at any unusual, unexpected noise. The grind of motors and gear shifts layered over the cloud of other language chatter doesn't get her attention anymore. She's grown used to the way these streets feel, the sounds they make, the dangers they hold. But today, no danger is in sight. That crystalline sky wouldn't allow danger, she's sure of it. Nonetheless, Lena finds herself gripping her M4 tighter as she scans the area, doing the best she can to appear casual as she makes her way toward the building across the dusty street. No. The conscious thought breaks into the unconscious. No weapon. The memory writes itself, and Lena looks down to find her hands empty. Right. Now walk. She obliges and starts the slow trek across the street. It's taking far longer than she thought it would, and she looks down to see she's knee-deep in what looks like honey. Honey on sandy pavement? Lena shakes her head, trying to clear her sight. No, that's definitely honey, and it's preventing her from getting across the street where she really, really needs to be. The air around her shifts, and the bustle of the street lapses into silence. Her ears ring, a high and heavy buzz that won't let up. She shakes her head again, and again. She shakes so hard she starts to feel dizzy, which is a feeling she cannot afford to be feeling right now. As she struggles to steady herself, she feels the press of a hand on her arm, fingers curling slowly but forcefully until her forearm is in a vice grip. There's a noise she can't place, a voice that sounds like the honey that has risen to her hips. Lena lifts her non-gripped arm and hits her ear, hoping both to disrupt the ringing and to allow the voice in. Instead, a whistling screech fills her head, a sound so strong and painful she is knocked down into the thick liquid, kicking fruitlessly as it inches over every centimeter of her body, and she thinks maybe the honey isn't so bad and she can... No! With a ragged gasp, Lena sits straight up in bed. The quilt is on the floor, and her sheets are knotted around her ankles. She kicks anyway, which only tightens the hold. Sweat trickles down her bare chest, and she flops backward onto her bed, allowing herself the grace of catching her breath. Her limbs continue to tremble even as she stares wide-eyed at the ceiling fan, tracking its movements. Inhale for 5, hold. Exhale for 6. The thought emerges from the dark rubble of her mind, and Lena shuts her eyes, giving in. She breathes, slow and steady, waiting for the shaking and sweating to stop or at least ease up. The dreams, right, nightmares, weren't this bad back in Jersey. She had a handle on them mostly, or at least she could get a sense of when they might arrive and disturb her attempts at sleep. Since she's been in Kitty Hawk, however, everything feels unpredictable. The nightmares, the intrusive thoughts, the sudden and uninvited flashbacks. They've moved right in and rented out rooms in Lena's brain. She's a terrible landlord, but they thrive on that, taking up as much space as they want and barging into locked rooms despite not having keys. She hates, hates that her brain has begun betraying her like this. She honestly believed she'd conquered it and taken control. She's learning at an accelerated rate that she was wrong about that. After another round of breathing, the shaking subsides. Lena rolls over into a puddle of her sweat and grimaces. Even if she wanted to date, how unsexy would it be for a woman to wake up covered in her nightmare-fueled sweat?
Not happening, she mumbles as she reaches for her phone. This whole nightmare bullshit thing is something she refuses to talk about with Caitlin.
Lena knows the alarm bells would ring with a ferocity that Caitlin wouldn't be able to ignore, and she'd fly down to the barrier islands in a flash. There is one person who knows. Fine, sort of knows. But Lena hesitates once she pulls up her therapist's contact info. She could call. She could text. She could calmly request that her next appointment be moved up by 2 days. Carolyn wouldn't bat an eye. It's just that Lena can't.
No, she won't.
And she doesn't. Instead, she puts the phone back down and gets out of bed, ignoring the fact that her hands continue to tremble slightly. She stretches her naked body in the early morning light leaking through the blinds. She can get through today, and tomorrow, and then she can maybe tell her therapist exactly how bad and how frequent the disjointed memories have become. An hour later, Lena's driving down 158, headed toward Manteo. It's a decent drive, one that gives her time to listen to 9 of her favorite songs. She takes advantage and cues up a playlist she and Mallory made a year ago. It definitely does not include any of Caitlin's depressing I'm So Lonely I Might Die songs. Not 5 minutes into her drive, a flag hanging from a house catches her eye. Though she prefers the blue and white design, she'd know that white star on a black background anywhere. As she coasts to a stop at a red light, Lena takes a moment to stare down the flag. She can't help but wonder who's in the house and what they've experienced. Maybe they crossed paths at some point. Ridiculous, but you never know. Would they bond over memories or avoid each other to stop the memories? Why did they enlist, and are they still happy they did? A beep jolts Lena's attention back to the road, and she continues on her way. She's happy, mostly, with her choice to enlist, but less than happy with all the baggage that's come along with it. That choice, though, the initial choice made 18 years ago, was one she'd felt coming for a long time, and one she knew she couldn't suppress. 16. That was the year Lena decided she'd had enough. She'd gone 16 years without feeling like she fit, always sensing she was some kind of outsider within her biological family. Her own siblings, 3 older brothers who were doted on like princes by her parents, treated her like an outcast. And that began way before she'd acknowledged and announced her sexuality upon graduating high school. For a period of 6 months or so when she was 15, Lena researched ways to find out if she was adopted. That had to be it. There was no other explanation. Never mind that she was the spitting image of her father. When she came up empty-handed, she turned to the one relative she knew she could trust. Aunt Susan had laughed so hard she'd had to steady herself by sitting down at her kitchen table. You've got to be kidding me, Lena. You're kidding, right? You must be.
I'm not.
Almost 16-year-old Lena was stubborn and insistent. She'd convinced herself this was the truth of her life and needed to be validated.
Why else would they all hate me so much?
First of all, no one hates you. At Lena's raised eyebrows, Susan shrugged. Okay, your parents don't love your friends and think that one girl, the one with all the heavy eyeliner and the baggy jeans that could fit 3 of her, is a bad influence on you, but they don't hate you.
I try to do everything right, and it's never good enough for them.
Lena slumped in her chair. I play every freaking sport a girl can play, and no one comes to my games. I don't get it. Lena, honey, your parents love you. They don't show it in the best of ways, but they do. I promise you that. The promise wasn't enough, a recurring theme in Lena's life. And as she continued through high school and started to become aware of the other looming reason her traditionally minded family would ultimately not want her around, her decision to get as far away from them as possible became more concrete. She did her research and decided to enlist in the
sample complete. Ready to continue?